Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including new issues of the spinoff series and the latest episode of, well, the last series, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
I'm googly-eyed over goggles. It's Kevin.
There were so many ways you could take it. I'm glad that's the way you went. Love it.
Oh, wait till it. Next week. It's fine.
Oh no. Oh no. I'm scared now.
You know, it's fine. It's fine.
But we got a couple things to talk about today. A new issue of one of the comics and a new episode of the show. Mm-hmm. But before we dive headlong into those, we want to take a moment, like we do every week, to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is still ongoing and still requires support. You know, to fighting against the constant attacks against, you know, trans and reproductive rights within the U.S., and the kind of current ongoing conflict in Gaza against the Palestinian people. You know, we've highlighted resources in the past. You know, we encourage you to find a way that you can help, whether that's donating, you know, time or money, joining in protests safely where you can, or even, you know, just beginning the steps to educate yourself. Find a way that you can help. Be a hero in your own way. Let's try to make this world a better place. With that said, we'll jump into the first thing, which is we're like a couple weeks off from it, but Ranger Academy number 3 dropped.
Yeah. That was a thing.
Yes, it was. It was written by Maria Ingrande Mora, illustrated by Joe Mi Gyeong, colored by Fabiana Mascolo, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. And the previews description for this one is, though exciting, Ranger Academy is challenging for Sage. Having trouble fitting in, Sage seeks answers in the Academy's library, discovering a connection to her adoptive father's past in the library's archives. In an effort to learn more about the school and her place in it, Sage's curiosity takes her to an abandoned part of the campus, only to discover something even more shocking than she ever realized. So it's just this issue is just kind of more of what we've had so far. Yeah. It's still setting up a lot of things. I think a lot of this issue really revolves more around Sage and kind of her place in things, which I think helps. Obviously, like, she's our window character to all this. She's kind of our main character with all of it. But it's a lot of like, okay, here's a mystery that we've set up with her adoptive father being there. You know, it's her trying to figure that part out. It's her also like having to deal with the like structure of the Ranger Academy, which is all new to her. There's like the conflicts with that. There's like a bunch of new students that are introduced that are part of her class that whose names I have not remembered yet. And it's just a lot of still building out this world because obviously we're 3 issues in. But what did you think of this, Kevin, when you read this one?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still kind of building up to Sage learning what color she's going to be.
Yeah.
And we kind of get a big hint at that near the end of the issue. But I think it's still doing, like, it's doing the thing which is world building. So we're learning more about the Academy. We're learning a little bit more about her father's past of the Academy. And so this is very much like a slow issue, like a slow burn. It was okay. It was fine.
It doesn't feel like anything's happened yet. And that's not a critique.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like we've hit a like high point of this series yet.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely think it's going to provide some interesting things that we're going to see in the future. And so I think it's like with any slice of life, like school-based series, like you always run that issue, no pun intended, of you're gonna have like the small moments and you're gonna have like the little things. So yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting to see what happens next.
I think the big, I mean, obviously we're building up to the first test that they have to take where they have to figure out their color and like find the crystal. So obviously the thing we're building towards is that's going to be the big first event. I'm not going to draw the comparison, but yeah, it's just our big first thing. There's another school-based literary thing I was going to draw a comparison to, but I'm not going to give that thing any more airtime than it has, so we're going to pass by it. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously the thing you and I had already speculated on seems to be the case in that, like, in this issue, as Sage is kind of off doing her own thing at the school, she finds an abandoned part of the campus, which seems to hint towards there being a green campus, either there used to exist or there was one that was built and abandoned. We're not sure. And in the process, like, comes across one of the, like, tubes that, like, reach out into the universe and pull different Rangers in. And she sees herself, you know, you and I kind of discussed this a bit, and we're like, well, it could be her in the future. There could be timey-wimey stuff, or it could be one of those things, like, things have done before where you see someone you think is you, but it's actually, like, a family member or someone else.
I mean, and we don't know for sure what's going to happen quite yet, but I think for me, I'm most excited about seeing more of this lore built out, and, like, I obviously, like, they're kind of doing the thing where, like, they're making a big deal about this exam and, like, them getting their colors, which obviously it is. So I am curious to see the process of, like, how they find out what their color is and what campus they belong to. And it's, I think that's what's going to be interesting, kind of seeing the lore building. I think for me, I just, my mind keeps going to, like, okay, so where do they become Rangers at officially? Like, how do they get their teams? Like, because I have some theories about some stuff, but I have a feeling it's about to get real timey-wimey.
It might. I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see.
Okay. Do you want to know my theory?
Sure. I mean, that's why we have a podcast, Kevin.
That's true.
that's why we're here.
I'm polite. Okay. I might be a gremlin, but I'm at least polite.
Okay, well, on behalf of myself and the listeners, I will give you consent to tell us your theory.
Thank you. So, I wonder if this is going to be kind of their way of explaining, like, why when a Power Ranger morphs, they know what's in the grid. Like, they know how to use their powers. So, like, what if they end up making it where, like, when you get selected to become a Ranger, you like get pulled from time, you go to the academy, you finish everything, and then you get pulled back in, like, instantaneously, and, like, subconsciously everything you learned at the academy is like in your brain, and, like, you just don't remember it.
That would be an interesting way to do it. I don't know that this is what they're doing, considering the fact that two students were on a ship and, like, brought Sage back, and, like, Sage hasn't had, like, her memory messed with, as far as we know.
But, yeah, no, I don't know. My brain is, like, maybe, because the thing I keep thinking about is, like, okay, if they're making these Rangers, like, how are they getting, like, with their teams, like...
You want it to fit, and I appreciate you doing that. I get it.
If there's one thing I am, it's consistent. Horrible.
Yes to the first part, no to the part you added, but
agree to disagree.
I do think it's interesting, especially so far in the series, how we've had cameos of Rangers, but they're not ever the focus of what's going on in the scene. Like, this issue had Jen
in it,
and it's funny, because to be like, that would be the thing I think a Power Ranger fan would be really like, no, you have to, this is a big deal, you should be making a big deal out of it. And I like that the books are just kind of like, no, there's gonna be Rangers here. Yeah,
well, of course there's gonna be Rangers at the Ranger Academy. What did you think, they were gonna be writers?
You know, if Mask Rider showed up, I would laugh so hard.
I would laugh too, but you know me, I'm all about the chaos magic.
But yeah, I mean, like we said, I don't know that there's much more to talk about with this one. I'll be curious if, like, I'm betting, you know, next issue will be the big kind of reveal thing, because that's how Boom tends to do this. They tend to collect 4 issues for, like, their first trade, and that's gonna make this up. So I'm betting whatever huge thing we're building towards is gonna happen next issue. So, you know, we'll get to find out at the beginning of next month. But any last thoughts on Ranger Academy before we move on?
I mean, I think it was an interesting issue, but yeah, I think it's got that world building stuff. Like, they're clearly building to something, but I mean, I think it could be interesting to see what happens. So,
yes.
And, you know, I think anything can happen in that great big Power Rangers universe, and there's multiverses and all sorts of crazy things that happen.
Yes, 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 there are, for sure, without a doubt. But, as we were discussing this, we were reminded that there was another big, air quotes, announcement for the comics world. Godzilla versus Mighty Morphin Power Rangers #2 was announced.
Yeah.
And this is the description for it. Worlds collide a second time as everyone's favorite kaiju meets up with Earth's mightiest warriors once again to take on the most fearsome monsters from both sides of the multiverse, with Rita Repulsa egging them on. This one has it all. Space Godzilla, Clawhammer, Tentacreep, But what exactly does Rita intend to do with their collective might? And how have her mysterious new allies, Astronema and the Alliance of Evil, given her added reach across worlds? The Power Rangers are on a mission to find out. But first, all roads lead back to Godzilla. Mm-hmm. Written by returning Cullen Bunn, Godzilla vs. the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, with art by Baldomero Rivas, DC Mech, colors by Andrew Dollhouse and letters by Johanna Guzman, the 5-issue Godzilla vs. the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2 miniseries will once again see the tokusatsu icons and their beloved cast antagonized by Rita Repulsa.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I think this is interesting because we saw the cover the other day and we forgot it was happening. But this is my first time hearing the description. I only saw the cover.
Uh-huh. Same. I didn't know this either.
So, dear readers, if you want to peek behind the curtain, we have notes that we look at every week, and I forgot this was a thing. So I was like, okay, let me pull up the description. And so, Joel, while you're sitting there talking about your thoughts on Ranger Academy, like, I'm looking and reading and, like, I'm trying to, like, hold back because I see Astronema and the Alliance of Evil, and I'm like...
No, I saw it come across the screen, and I was like,
yeah, I was like, because if it's the Alliance of Evil, that can only mean one thing. You know who's coming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your favorite girl, the Pirate Queen herself.
Yes, Astronema's already there, but yes, Diva talks as well. No shade to her, but
I thought you liked Diva Talks more than Astronema.
I would say I like Astronema more than Diva Talks, but I love them both. They're both my favorites.
Look at me, I'm Astronema, I'm the ruler of the universe.
Yes, but so, like, to give context, when we saw the cover because that was what was getting passed around, like Twitter and all kinds of other things earlier this week. I would say our response was...
Yay?
Meh. Meh.
Dear listeners, if you are new to this podcast, we, of course, reviewed Godzilla Power Rangers as it came out. And to be honest, dear listener, we were not the biggest fans of it. Like, it had some cool stuff and some cool concepts, but we just... at least for myself, and I feel like Joel will agree with me on this. Like... It had certain elements that we were not the biggest fans of, and like it had certain elements that we felt like they could have taken it and gone even further.
Yes.
Hence our reaction, I guess.
Yeah. To be as charitable as we can, it was light. It was not as like deep as we would have thought it would have gone. And we understand, you know, when you say the phrase Godzilla versus Power Rangers, you're not expecting like, true character depth, but like it was just very like flat, kind of obvious it felt at times.
And we both are not exactly, I feel like, at least I know I am not a Godzilla fan. I do not know the Godzilla lore. Like, I'm seeing this right now, it says Claw Hammer and Tentacreep, and I'm like, okay, but which one's a Power Ranger monster?
That's also where I'm like, but I so feel it's like not Tentacreep any... is a Power Ranger monster, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. So no tea, no shade, no pink lemonade to Godzilla fans. It was just not our cup of tea.
Of who we are friends with, by the way, and I'm sure we'll hear this.
I know. Clutch pearls. I feel like we're gonna get like a DM from one of our dear friends, and they're gonna be like, I heard you were talking shit.
The big question when we saw the cover was, why?
And for those of you who haven't seen the cover, it also includes the Green and White Ranger.
Together. So is it comics continuity? Is it not? Like, is it
weirdness? Is it timeline?
Shenanigans? And just reading this too, like, okay, look. You've piqued my interest. Like, you drug me back with Astronema. I am now here. And I'm just like, okay, but what... What does that all mean? Like,
I think there can be a lot of fun to be had with this. Like, I'm already imagining Diva Talks, like, on top of a kaiju and, like, commanding it.
I mean, that's essentially what she did in Turbo when she had her Zord, because she just parked her car on, like, Godzilla.
Oh my god! Okay, here's the sad thing. Like, this is no shade to Cullen at all. But remember, there were often times when we were reviewing this comic, like, weekly as it came, or monthly as it came out, and we were like, oh, it'd be so cool if they did this, and then they didn't.
I swear to God,
please, Cullen, put a car on a kaiju and let Diva Talks control it. Please.
I...
It's a deep cut, I know, but come on.
I... Kevin, I think we're going to get our hopes up again, and I don't think we need to. We need to just go in with as low of expectations as we can and be pleasantly surprised.
Well, what can I say? We're Power Ranger fans. Getting our hopes up too much is what we do.
I know. No, this is going to be the Shakespeare Power Ranger. I don't. And I'm intrigued that it's not that, yeah. That what's his name? Who was the artist that was on the first book?
Freddie Williams.
Yes, the third, yes. That's I could see the third, couldn't remember the first two parts of it. But yeah, Freddie Williams. It's interesting that he's not returning, that it's Baldemar Rivas that is going to be taking over, which, like, I don't remember the DC mech book. I remember the covers, so I need to look at that artist's work and see what it's like. You know, hopefully they can do something cool with it. No shade to Freddie Williams, the third. It's just like, you know, or the second. I can't remember which Roman numeral he is, but their art was not the greatest sometimes for that book.
I think Freddie is an interesting artist because I have read several books that have had Freddie as an artist. Yeah. Ironically, crossover books. Freddie is actually really, really well known for doing Batman, TMNT, like all three volumes.
Yeah.
I think Freddie's art style works really, really well when you have like traditional superheroes.
Yeah.
Or monsters. Like Freddy's work on Godzilla MMPR was really, really, really good when it came to like the kaiju and everything like that. But yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting to see like a different artist come in. And I'm interested to see what they do. But it looks like I think Freddy is still doing the covers, it looks like. So yeah, I think Freddy's art style is very unique, and I think it works for certain series and for other ones not as much. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because we'll be covering it, unfortunately. So
yeah,
the other air quotes big news this week was that Todd McFarlane Toys will actually be putting out like has a partnership with Hasbro for certain licenses, Power Rangers included in them, to do new figures. They're for a specific line right now, which are called like the pop outs or pop ins, that are like figures that come with a comic book. So the assumption is that there will be a Power Ranger one that will include some issue of the Power Ranger comic, probably issue zero.
Yeah.
Probably the zero issue, which is hilarious. They keep packaging that with stuff, but that would be my assumption, especially because it'll have the Miguel Mercado cover, because my assumption will be it'll the Red Ranger holding the helmet.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people since this news has been announced getting overly excited about it, I think, and being like, well, what if, imagine if Todd McFarlane was able to do like actual figures of the Rangers and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, we don't know that that's ever going to happen. I can give my opinions on that, but
I've heard this song and dance before. How are those Super 7 figures going, y'all?
I think
this is an exciting opportunity. I think this is going to be cool. It is always good to see Power Rangers as a brand getting out there, right?
Yeah.
I would say please reserve your judgments until, and I know I'm saying this because like we were just getting like I was overhyping myself earlier about the idea of Diva Talks driving a kaiju, so I understand like the irony of me saying this. Let's temper our expectations. It can be very easy to get overly excited. We don't have product pictures yet. We don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, and the pop-ins are like small figures, is my understanding. It's like a teeny tiny figure in a comic book, is my understanding. Yeah. That's kind of the little pop-ins or pop-outs. I don't even know what they're called, if I'm being honest. But the thing, like, I've seen a lot of this. The big hubbub is like obviously people just speculating because, like, you know, this announcement comes the same week as we found out that Hasbro fired over 1,000 people.
Yeah,
apparently they were not making enough revenue this year for various reasons. So like Hasbro is clearly not doing well. So people are assuming that like the Power Ranger toy license will eventually go to someone else. And I'm like, I don't know that that's going to happen, and I'm, if I'm going to be honest, I don't know that I want it to be Todd McFarlane either, because, like...
Yeah. I mean, I have no history of McFarlane toys. I've never bought McFarlane toys specifically. I have no opinion. I'm just kind of like, sure, why not?
My thing with Todd McFarlane is, like, he's always... The toys that he does are usually, like, his designs, and then, like, there'll be like his take on things, or like when he does license things, like he did like My Hero Academia toys that were rough is the word I would use.
Okay.
And then he's done, like, he does all the, like, he has a license for, like, the DC figures, like, their, like, their version of Marvel Legends, which are, like, the multiverse figures. Mm-hmm. And those are very hit and miss on how good they look.
Yeah.
They also tend to all have the same kind of jawline. They're all kind of basically the same figure, and they don't tend to come with a lot. It's just a figure mm-hmm. and a card. So, like, I don't, if they did a Power Ranger one, I would be worried that Todd McFarlane would put, like, some weird spin on it, or it would be, like, it's just not my aesthetic, and it's not a thing, like, I want for the brand, you know? But, you know, for people who are excited, if something does come of it, hey, great. We get more toys. We get more stuff out there. But, yeah, I don't know how to feel about this one, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see the product photos that come out. And, yes. You know.
What comes of it.
Yeah. Everyone is titled to their own opinions.
For sure. But those were kind of the two, like, weird stealth announcements this week for Power Rangers, which is... It's nice getting news about Power Rangers, but it's always just like, oh, okay. Weird.
Yeah.
But
it's like that meme of someone, I forget who it was, but, like, it was the meme of someone reacting to something like, okay.
Yes, yeah.
it was Whoopi Goldberg on The View whenever she was like,
okay. Yeah. That's kinda how I feel too. It's just like, okay. Yeah. And again, like, it's one of, like you said, we don't have product photos of, like, Todd McFarlane stuff. Like, the Godzilla, like, thing was covers initially. We didn't even get the description until now. So, like, yeah. It's just interesting. We'll see what comes in 2024, because, like, clearly we don't have any Lightning Collection figures coming. We don't have a show. We're kind of just here. So,
yeah.
Any news is good news, so we'll see what comes in 2024 then. But we've got one other thing to discuss this week, Kevin. We're continuing our coverage of Cosmic Fury. We've got Power Rangers Cosmic Fury Season 30, Episode 5, Rock Out. This episode has a story by Alwyn Dale, Becca Barnes, Maya Thompson, and Cameron Dixon, with a teleplay by Maya Thompson and Becca Barnes, and directed by Charlie Haskell. Mm-hmm. And the kind of short description for this one is, when Bajillus discovers a long-lost Zord on a mining planet, the Rangers must create a musical distraction to stop her from using it as a war weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm gonna let you start this one, Kevin. What did you think of this episode?
This is, like, quintessential Power Rangers camp. Like, it's very interesting because, like, on the one hand, it does feel very, like, out of place given the context of the season. But I actually really adore this episode. Like, it feels like classic Power Rangers camp. Like, it's a fun episode. I actually really enjoy it, and I would not be surprised if, like, Chance, like, proposed this or something. Like, if Chance was, like, spitballing and was like, hey, we should have an episode where we do a band.
Well, it feels the most like a stock episode of Power Rangers in a season that has not been stock. Like, Cosmic Fury so far has been kind of breaking Power Ranger trends, so to have an episode that is just like, you could have plucked this and put this in any other season, pretty much, because it's the, oh, a new Zord has shown up, oh, we've got to get that Zord kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel like with its place in the season, it kind of serves as, like, you know how, like, in comic book series, even Power Rangers, you have, like, you finish an arc of four comics, you get, like, a buffer issue to, like, kind of breathe, and then you get, like, the next arc. I think that's what this issue really does, because really, after this issue, like, or after this episode, it's all ramping up from here. So I feel like it's a nice,
it's
like,
the baseball issue.
Yeah. And, like, I think that's the thing I like. I think I like that it's, like, a nice breather episode.
But even with that, I think there's a ton of fun moments in this. This, like, obviously also, like, has a lot of, like, in space vibes to it.
It does, like, the thing
they're doing, like, that's, like, if I had to point to, like, oh, it feels like what they're riffing on is this, it's like an in space episode, because we definitely have a lot of, like, interesting callbacks to it.
I would say it feels like a Turbo episode, like Turbo mixed with in space.
Yes, it's got elements of both, for sure.
Yeah. And we get some fun moments with, like, Bajillia and some other characters.
Oh my god, yes. I have a lot of Bajillia lines written down. But what is there any one thing you want to start talking with? I don't necessarily want to go beat by beat on this one.
I think I really appreciate how this arc has had Fern consistently trying to say, I can help, I can help. I think Jacqueline does a really good job of, like, playing Fern as this character who, like, she is on the sidelines, she wants to help, she wants to do good. And she gets a lot of cute moments in this episode. Like, she is... I think one thing that I really like about Fern as a character, especially her getting to be fleshed out more this season, is that we see just how, like, supportive and understanding and, how empathic she can be. Like, she very much is like, oh, I'm down for anything. Like, let's do it. Let's like, it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoy Fern as a character in this season, because she kind of adds that, like, the Rangers are all kind of brooding because they know the gravity of the situation, but Fern is kind of just like, okay, but we've got this. We can do this.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the specific episode I loved, like, a lot of my notes is, hey, I love Fern, hey, I love having her here, but one of the first ones was, like, her interacting with Javi at the beginning of the episode, where she's talking about, like, playing the drums and how hard it is, and it's like, okay, she's not just Izzy's girlfriend, she does have connections with the other characters, and there's, like, other fun moments throughout, and I mean, they do a cool moment, too, later in the episode where, like, because Fern is just a human, there is a moment, it's not, like, super tense, but there is, like, kind of a moment where it's like, oh, she is technically in danger right now. And I do like that. They don't, like, drive, they don't, like, hammer it too hard. But, yeah. And then, like, you know, we get the scenes later on where Fern's in the cockpit with Izzy, and they can only do that because it's original cockpit footage.
And there's a really cute moment because Fern is told to not touch anything, and then she does the very, like, accidental thing where she summons a Zord. And that does end up helping them win. And, like, there was a really – one of the moments that I remember from this episode clearly, and I remember I loved it in the first watch I had of it on the day it came out, was Fern at the end. She was like, I totally help you guys win, right? Like, she was just, like, so excited and eager.
Yes, for sure.
And it was just – and the way it was delivered and the way it was handled was just really well done. And I think it's interesting because we do contrast this with Izzy through the episode. And Tessa does a really good job, I think, of, like, she's trying to, like, hide her frustrations with Fern and be like, no, you need to stay here. Like, and we've seen that kind of bubbling up. And, of course, as we know now from post-production, like, there was going to be an extended arc about this. So we are kind of getting the abridged version. But I think it's – I think it is interesting kind of seeing that conflict pop up of, like, she wants her to be protected. But at the same time, like, Fern – Fern doesn't want to be protected. She wants to be involved.
And I like, even, like, when the thing comes up, I think the thing I like about the how they've kind of played it, it's something I've kind of realized now, is Izzy doesn't play it as Fern is weak. Izzy plays it as, like, no, this is dangerous, and putting you in a dangerous situation is something I don't like.
Yeah. Like, it's, yeah, it's more like she understands that, like, they, like, Izzy is now experienced with danger. Izzy knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she understands that, like, if I throw Fern into the mix, like, it's without powers, it's going to be dangerous.
Yes, for sure.
So, yeah, I think that would be my first note, is, like, the Izzy and Fern dynamics this episode. I think, too, I really enjoy Ollie in this episode.
yes.
So.
He gets a lot of great moments.
A lot of great lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, well, I love his, like, him and Izzy having just kind of a tiff all episode is great. Because there's the moment when, like, Ollie, like, first morphs and summons his Tricera Blaster. Yeah. And Izzy is like, oh, poor little Ollie trying to catch up. Got jealous of our weapons. And then that leads into when Izzy morphs, him and her having, like, this one-on-one fight that I think is really well choreographed and I really like a lot.
Yeah, like, the easy thing would have been to, like, have Ollie fight Amelia.
Yeah.
But instead, it gives you some good moments. Because, of course, we also know that Izzy and Ollie also bonded last season over, you know, learning about electricity and engineering. And so it is kind of fun to see, like, them build on, like, other relationships within the team.
Yeah. So the thing I want to talk about, if I can take over on this side, is I actually want to talk about, like, makeup and costuming this episode.
Yeah.
Because there's some great, like, you know, the big conceit of this episode is the Rangers dress up like monsters, so there's some fun costuming being done there. It absolutely looks like they just took the cast into the, like, monster room that they have and went, okay, can you wear this? Okay, put this on. Okay, now put this on. Okay, now we're going to try this. It's wonderful, and I love all of the, like,
yeah,
piecemealed together outfits that they did for the Rangers as their mm-hmm. band.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we also see the return of some prevalent costumes and props, including mm-hmm. Cybervillain Roxy's Ranger uniform.
Yeah.
We see a Halloween episode monster dress for Amelia. And we also see Fury's the Fury icons, like the faces on
yeah.
one of the Rangers as well. So I thought it's always fun to see those moments, I think, is when they piecemeal things together.
Yeah, and I mean, like, why not? You've got all these costumes, why not use some of them? Mm-hmm. And just, like, the other thing I wanted to call out is, like, the at the beginning of the episode, we get, like, a newscaster that's, like, a monster newscaster.
Yeah.
And the makeup that they did on that actor looks great. I'm just, yeah. like, it is crazy that they did all that work and he's, like, only on screen for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I have a feeling when they filmed it, they did something else, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a later scene where that would come into play. But yeah, I just yeah. really wanted to give them there. I also love, like, so, you know, obviously a lot of the Rangers in, like, the repurposed costumes are wearing just, like, full-on face masks.
Yeah.
But I love that what they did with Tessa, where they, like, gave her a half mask and then painted on her yeah. face to, like, continue it. It's a really cool look, and when it gets removed, it still looks cool on Tessa.
Yeah. And you can tell that the actors had a lot of fun with that, of, like, playing it up. Like, we don't know for sure if that was all of them playing. Like, we can assume that, like, I'm pretty sure that was Tessa singing. That was Chance playing, obviously.
Yeah.
But, so, like, I am curious to see, like, if they actually, like, let them up on stage and played, and they just played music over it, or whatever they did. But you can tell they had fun. Like, you can tell it was a good moment for them.
Yeah, and you know, a little other costuming thing is they had Zato in, like, a cloak doing yeah. his full-on Andros sneaking around.
It was great.
Just that one shot of him was like, ah, yes, it's giving me exactly what I want.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. They knew.
Oh, definitely. And I do love that the canon reason for all of those outfits to exist is that they're abandoned craft items that Solon had.
I mean, she was dormant for millions of years, so...
Yes. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. We have, like, backup for that, but it is just so funny yeah. to me that that's, like, the big thing on there.
You know, whenever there's a convenient thing there, Solon did it.
Exactly. And it's, so, and that's, you know, kind of staying in line with, like, the costuming, I did want to talk about one set thing. I do love the dragon Zordai set piece that they made. It's really yeah. cool. That would probably be hard. Like, I'm assuming they had to make that themselves, and it does yeah. look really cool.
I was assuming it was just green screen.
It seems like it's an actual set piece from okay. what I'm looking at it. But
okay, there was an angle in the episode where I was like, oh, that's green screen. But yeah, maybe yeah. it is.
To me, it looked like a threat, but I can absolutely be wrong about that. But I thought it looked really cool. And then whenever it breaks out, I think they did a good job with, like, the CGI of showing it.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, Zato gets the Dragon Sword. Like, I think it works yeah. very well.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. And there's some good moments of that as well. But yeah, no, and it's fun to see that we do get the Dragon Sword. Cause you know, we knew that with it being limited, like, we didn't know what we would get from Q-Ranger, so it yes. is nice to see that. Because that's a really nice Zord design anyway, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best ones, I think, in the Q-Ranger designs.
Yeah, yeah. And I am interested to see, like, because obviously they kind of, like, hand-wave it as, like, oh, it must have got lost from the fleet. So, like, I challenge the comic writers. Let's see a prologue comic to figure out why it landed on that planet.
Yeah. I do want to shout out so the Rangers morph, like, another yes. costuming kind of production. They the morph looks good. I love when they flipped all the little things in. That's still such a cool effect. And I love that, like, they did different angles on each of the Rangers, like, shifting, doing the link to morph and grid. But after they morph,
yeah,
there is a, like, you know, standard Power Rangers, you know, we morphed kind of shot, like, pose, and instead of an explosion, they do, like, a confetti blast.
Yeah. My theory is that the Rangers brought the confetti blast just for the effect.
Yeah, and it just happened to work. And that, yeah, I'm assuming that too. It's so goofy, and I love yeah. it, though.
It, like, that was very much like a Super Sentai moment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, a diegetic...
Yeah. Like, I think that's, like... For me, I think that's, like, the fun of Power Rangers and what it is. Is, like, when it can have fun with things like that. And even, like, Amelia makes a comment, and she was like, what? No applause?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah, no, I think, like, even the choreography they use with, like, when... Because even, like, when they do the pose, they all hold their weapons like instruments.
Yeah.
Because Amelia holds the because Amelia holds the hammer like a guitar.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's camp.
And I mean, yeah, it is camp, and they put it in the opening, so hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I even think, like, one thing I didn't realize when I was watching the episode until even today was, like, and I don't know if it's because of this episode alone, but, like, the way Javi wields the axe, like, he holds it like a guitar, not an axe.
Yeah, he, like, the way he, like, was fighting with it also, so good.
I didn't realize that. I was like, oh. So, like, kudos to the choreography team, like, that. Little details like that, I think, can go missed, but, like, it's fun, so.
I do want to also shout out some of the dialogue in this episode. I mean, we highlighted the thing with, like, Izzy and Ollie earlier, but Bajillia gets some great, ridiculous lines as well.
Yeah, she does.
You know, if Scrozzle's that annoying, talk to me before tying him up. And then after, like, the Zord escapes and the villains all manage to barely get away from the Zord's destruction, she's like, give me this, give me that, and when someone dig up Scrozzle.
The delivery on that is just so fun, and it's so good.
And then I love in the, like, Zord fights, whenever, Zeno beats up two of them, and then, you know, Bajillia shows up with her Zord thing, and Zeno's just like, oh, come on, a boss fight too?
Yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. It's very, like, I actually really enjoy the Squid Ink characters. Like, I think they add a lot to this season. Like, I know when they first got revealed, we were kind of like, okay, what's going to happen with these? Like, we kind of figured that maybe they wouldn't be as developed, or, like, they'd be more one-off characters, but they actually do a really good job, like, this episode especially, highlighting Bajillia and kind of giving her more character.
Yeah, and I love... Okay, so there's one thing I do want to point out that just made me kind of giggle, and I wish they would have... Like, I would assume they probably had an additional line for it, but maybe not, is when Ollie realizes what's going on. Like, obviously a monster comes in and it's like, oh, there's, like, a free concert, you know, Bajillia's so nice, and Ollie's like, hold on, nice? And I'm like, I love that nice was the word that tipped Ollie off and not the free part, because you know Bajillia would not give them a free concert as well.
The fact that he was like, and I think even better than the line nice, that doesn't sound like CEO behavior, and that's how he, like, figures it out. Yes. And I also enjoy too that they point out the fact that they're like, Ollie can count, like, there's five of us, and so that plays into the plan of why Fern has to be there, so they can distract him. And make him think that all five, like, it's just good little moments like that. And, like, it's kind of funny because they could have, like, looped in Billy potentially, and they kind of explained the way of, like, no, Billy's working on the ship, but, like, yeah, it's just, it's fun. Like, it's fun using the cast and, like, using their abilities, because Ollie would totally have counted, like.
Yeah, and it's one of the few times, I think, in the entire series that we have Rangers actually coming up with a plan and thinking it through logically, and not just being like, well, we're going to go there and blow them up. That's kind of the extent of the thought on the plan.
Yeah, which I think also is fun because it ties into, like, with Once and Always, Billy being like, violence isn't always the answer.
Yeah, for sure.
So, a lot of fun moments with that. But
Speaking of Billy and... Solon, what they were up to. Yes, they were fixing the ship, which gets a new name called the Cosmic Cruiser, which I don't think they say again in the entire show.
Probably not, though, but it's fine.
It was just funny. Whenever the name dropped, I was like, don't think I knew that was what it was called.
Well, now you do.
We did get, like, check-ins on Earth at two points in this episode.
Yes.
And the first one at the beginning of the episode establishes, like, the hand wave that, hey, Zed has started prisons on Earth and all Rangers are captured.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a decent hand wave. It works. We don't ever have to acknowledge it, and we don't ever acknowledge it again.
Yeah.
But we also get a cameo from another person that I know certain people who have been on this podcast and who may be on this podcast were really excited about.
Yeah.
In the form of Tarek.
Yeah.
It was
I do love him. Good old Jared Turner. I really like how they use these video messages and relays to, like, convey news to the Rangers. Like, it does a lot for world building, and, like, it is kind of hand-waving some things, because it does explain, like, you know, oh, the Rangers have been captured. Oh, this has happened. But, like, I think it's good to kind of have those moments.
It keeps the stakes of what's going on. Because, like, when Tarek reaches out, you know, he tells them that Javi and Tessa's parents have been captured and are put in the prison. And it's like, hey, we don't know what's going to happen to them, but probably nothing good. So it does, like, raise the stakes and, like, kind of pushes the idea that the Rangers need to get back to Earth as soon as possible. So I do like that. It's kind of the calling them back after we've been out in space for these last couple of episodes. But then we get a last moment on planet Eltar. And in this, you know, there's a lot of conversation with, like, silly, you know, Scrozzle being silly, Bajillia being silly, Squillia being silly. It's all just kind of that. But we do get the drop that Squillia has a crush.
She does.
And then we see pictures of them. And it's a familiar goggled character. And no, we're not talking about Davis from Digimon or Ty or every other Digimon character that has goggles. We're talking about Heckle. Heckle is here. And I love that this is how we find out he's involved.
Well, and we obviously knew from, you know, news leaks and trailers and stuff like that. We knew that the Dark Ranger was coming back, but we even were worried. We were like, okay, did they actually get Ryan back? Did they, you know, how is it going to work? And so then we knew, we didn't know the context of how the Dark Ranger would appear. So we were kind of like up in the air. And what a fun way to like tease him being back.
It's so funny. I loved it so much. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Now the literally, I remember this is what happened. The day the episode came out, I had taken the day off and I was watching the episodes and I was like, okay, I'm going to watch like four episodes and then, or four or five episodes and then go to the gym. And then, I remember like that hitting scene that happens. Point. I screamed. I actually screamed. I was like, what? Basically, it made me watch the next episode. So, it was a good reveal and like, it was a good like tease to kind of get people to keep watching.
Yeah. No, for sure. And the fact that it doesn't immediately pay off in the next episode is wonderful as well. But this scene also sets up a thing that, like we saw earlier in the episode, Ollie has put a tracker on the Dragonzord, and he knows where the Rangers are currently based. So obviously that's going to cause problems for the Rangers very shortly.
Yes.
But any last thoughts on Rock Out?
I think it's a really fun episode, and I mean, I think there's a reason why I remember it so well, and that is because like it feels like a nice, relaxing moment before everything goes down, because the show hits full speed ahead.
Yeah, once we're on the roller coaster after here, and it's gonna go in ways you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, agreed.
But yeah, I really love this episode too, and I can't wait because we're gonna start getting into like the bigger and bigger things that we get to discuss that are really fun to go over.
Yeah,
but we'll have those to come very shortly. But with that, that'll kind of wrap up our show for today. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Twitter or Blue Sky at May the Power Pod on Twitter, or May the Power Pod .bsky.social on Blue Sky. Or you can email us by sending us an email to maythepowerpod@gmail.com. Feel free to send comments, suggestions, critiques, topic ideas, things you'd like us to discuss, or let us know if you're interested in coming on as guest hosts. We are still actively looking for people to come on and discuss like different episodes of Cosmic Fury. You know, we're happy to have more people come on. Let us know. We'll tell you if an episode's already been covered. Yeah, definitely just reach out. But if you want to find me, you can find me on most social media at ThespisPunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me. I'm around.
Look for BridgeMT on any socials. Will be a 3 or 3,000. Kevin is currently streaming, and you should check those out. He posts his schedule on his Twitter, so you should definitely check that out and watch him catch Pokemon or play different games. And, you know, just support Kevin on any way you can.
I'll
promote you if you won't.
I'm so bad at promoting myself. Okay, it's fine.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. I'll do it for you.
The irony is, like, I don't like being perceived sometimes, and I'm literally doing things where I'm being perceived. So it's just kind of like, just leave me.
Yeah, putting your face on there. Yeah,
it's fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
Everything is fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we go, like we do each week, just want to thank you guys for listening to us, joining in, getting to hear us gab about different things, especially when we only remember to discuss things when we're in the episode.
We're doing it live.
Yes, we're doing it live. Whew. But thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. But with that, as always, may the power protect you.